This is a presentation from Narara Valley Baptist Church, a church that's desperate for God and passionate for people.
It is very good to be here. It's good to see some old faces and some new ones. By old, I mean Craig, wherever he is. It's good to be amongst family, and I owe so much of who I am to this place and this space, and count it a privilege to be here and open God's word with you tonight. I was part of this church for a long time, and I get to be part of a family of churches, a network of churches that we've created, and so it really is cool that we get to do this together. We're going to read in Jonah chapter 3. Jonah 3, I believe you've been going through a series through Jonah, is that correct? Lewis thinks so, no one else does, so. Thank you, Georgia. I missed you, Georgia. Jeez. Jonah chapter 3. And the thing that everyone always asks when it comes to Jonah is, did that dude really get eaten by a fish? And I think it's a fair question. Jonah chapter 3, did that guy really get eaten by a fish? And the answer is, I think, actually, I don't know what Craig or Lewis actually think about this, but I'm the one holding the microphone, so it's all right. It's okay if they disagree. Is that this book was never meant to be a historical book. And there's a few biblical kind of nerdy literacy reasons for that. Normally with a prophet, it'll tell you it's written in the time of King someone, in the reign of King someone, which is meant to locate it in a time and a place. There's actually a historical time and event. You don't have that. There's lots of other kind of poetic things going on in this book, the least of which is a dude gets eaten by a fish and lives and survives for 3 days and gets spat out. A few other things is they set up an altar on a ship, which if you really think about that, and you set up an altar, you get a lamb, you put it on an altar, you fire on a wooden ship, doesn't really go down too well. There's a whole bunch of reasons, and we can talk about that later if you're interested in those nerdy things. But I think it is almost like a parable. And Jesus told parables and stories all the time. And a story is a powerful thing. Rachel Held Evans says there's no such thing as just a story. There's no such thing as just a story. She says even fairy tales don't tell us that dragons exist, but our dragons can be slain. And so when we come to a book like this, whether you believe it actually happened or if it is a story, a parable like Jesus told, it is not trying to tell us a historical point. It's got a theological point. That doesn't make it any less true or profound. And so the question then becomes, what is this book trying to tell us? What is this book trying to, what theological point, what point about God is this trying to tell us? We're going to read Jonah chapter 3, if you've got your Bibles. Verse 1. Then the Lord spoke to Jonah a second time. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh and deliver the message I have given you. It's the same message he got in chapter 1, which was his judgment against Nineveh. Interesting little point there. I'll come back to that. This time, Jonah obeyed the Lord's command and went to Nineveh, a city so large that it took 3 days to see it all. On that day, Jonah entered the city. He shouted to the crowds, 40 days from now, Nineveh will be destroyed. The people of Nineveh believed God's message, and from the greatest to the least, they declared a fast and put on burlap to show their sorrow. Anyone wearing burlap tonight? No? It was meant to be a bit funnier than... I won't try so hard. When the king of Nineveh heard what Jonah was saying, he stepped down from his throne and took off his royal robes. He dressed himself in burlap and sat in a heap of ashes. Then the king and his nobles sent this decree throughout the city. No one, not even the animals from your herds and flocks, may eat or drink anything at all. People and animals alike must wear garments of mourning, and everyone must pray earnestly to God. They must turn from their evil ways and stop all their violence. Who can tell? Perhaps even yet God will change his mind and hold back his fierce anger from destroying us. When God saw what they had done and how they had put a stop to their evil ways, he changed his mind. That's big. He changed his mind and he did not carry on with the destruction he had threatened. Jonah chapter 3. This is a story, a parable trying to tell us something about the way that God works in the world. Stories are powerful. You know, when I was growing up, I had a dog. My 12th birthday, I was given a dog. His name was Obi, short for Obi-Wan Kenobi, obviously, because Star Wars is the best. And he was a golden retriever. And at 12 years old, we became best friends. We hung out all the time. And as I got older, you know, one of the first things I taught him when we got him was to shake hands. You know how the dogs do the shake hand things. And literally, like, this, as he got obsessed with it. That's all he would do. He would just, like, keep shaking your hand, keep shaking your hand, keep shaking your hand, keep shaking your hand. And, you know, as I got older, moved away, lived in Sydney for a little while, would come back to mum and dad's, and obviously Obi would be there trying to shake my hand, shake my hand. Got married, moved away, still came back from time to time. Obi would shake your hand. And Obi got older, as dogs do. And I got a call from mum and dad one day, and they said, look, Obi's not doing well. You should come today because we've called the vet. He's going to come. We're going to put him down. And for months, he had stopped. He's like riddled with arthritis, and he couldn't really move. He couldn't shake hands anymore. And I got to mum and dad's house, and he was in the backyard with the vet, lying down, no energy. And go down and sit next to my dog. And just as he was kind of dying, he put his hand up to shake my hand. You know, there is power in story. So what I did with that little story is I told you a set of facts. But more than just a set of facts, I was telling you that I had this connection with my dog, right? I was telling you of the relationship I had with my dog. I could have just told you I had a dog, we had a great relationship. But it's the story and the arrangement of things that goes on to convey meaning. Not just the facts that happened, the event, the time, the weather, but conveying the meaning of what happened. And that's when we read genres like this in the Bible, we must work out not just like the facts of what happened, but the meaning. And we find ourselves looking at a story like this and to ask, what is the meaning? What is the meaning that that Jonah is trying to tell? I think this is a story about who's in and who's out. If you're taking notes early evening, you can write that as a title, who's in and who's out. And in Jonah's day, for the Israelites, the mark of who was in and who was out is whether you were a Jew or not. This is Jonah. He's a Jew. And if you fell in this line, the Jews were the people of God, the family of God. He chose Abraham, and Abraham had lots of kids. They became a nation. And that was like God's chosen people. He chose to use this family in his mission to the world. And for the Jews, they got very proud about that they were sort of part of God's family. It was a big part of their heritage, a big part of their identity. Jonah was a Jew. And Nineveh was like as far as you could get from God. They were doing some nasty stuff. It was like the epitome of like when the world goes wrong. Oppression and evil and abuse and corruption. All these things that God didn't want in the world because it's hurting people. God wants people to love one another. The way of Jesus is the way of love. The way of God is the way of love. And this is a city of people living not in the way of love, but in the way of hate and evil. And what we find in this story, chapter 1, God calls Jonah to move towards him by going to Nineveh, to go this way, to move towards God. And what does Jonah do? He runs away in the opposite direction. And then we find at the end of this chapter here that the Ninevites, who were like so far from God, that little line at the end, God changed his mind. And we find that the people of Nineveh who were moving in the opposite direction to God were facing God. And it is a story, a parable that's meant to mess with your mind. That the Jew, who's meant to be super close with God, was actually running away from God. And the Ninevites, who were meant to be really far from God, were actually moving towards God. And it's a very important point when it comes to the way of Jesus. And a lot of the stories that Jesus tells are about that. The people that you think are in are out, and the people that you think are out are in. Nineveh is kind of like the worst of the worst. You think about like the KKK or the Nazis or, you know, what all those people that you think are so far from God. Donald Trump, right? Sorry, it's a bit political. That's all right. He's not president anymore. All good. What we have in the story, though, is this moment where Jonah gets swallowed by a fish, chapter 2. And he repents. He turns around. Repent is this churchy word that is really important, but it's gotten a bad rap, the word repent. What repent means in the Hebrew is to actually literally just turn around. To turn around, or to change your mind, or to turn. And what we see is that Jonah repents from running from God. The reason he ran from God is because he didn't believe that God would be at work with the Ninevites. And so he ran away, he repented, and ended up going to Nineveh. And because Jonah went to Nineveh, the Ninevites repented. And because the Ninevites repented and turned towards God, God did a little bit of repenting of his own. He changed his mind. He moved towards the Ninevites. James, the brother of John, puts it like this, that when you draw near to God, he draws near to you. It's a pretty incredible little story. That when we turn to God, he turns towards us. Because Jonah changed his direction, the Ninevites changed their direction. And because the Ninevites changed their direction, God changed his direction. There's this line at the start of that that passage in chapter 3 where Jonah comes and gives judgment to Nineveh. And judgment is another one of those words like repent that gets a bad rap. We kind of think of God's judgment as God is kind of like this angry Karen working out who's like right or wrong, who's like doing the good thing, who's in, who's out. But what we find is that God's judgment isn't actually about bringing destruction, but bringing repentance and bringing reconciliation and bringing relationship. And God says that he's going to bring judgment to the world at the end of the age, when there's a new heaven and a new earth. And it's not necessarily about destruction, it's about reconciliation and relationship and making things right. You think about a judge. A judge's role is to make things right. And God's judgment and justice in the world is him turning the world the right way up. So the story, what's the story about? It's about two things. Number one, that it is not my job to decide where God's at work. It's not my job to decide where God is at work. You see, for Jonah, he ran away from God because he thought God could never be at work in Nineveh. God could never be at work with those people. God could never be at work with that popular kid in my year. God could never be at work with my boss. God could never be at work with my principal or with that person in my class or with that atheist or that person that's deconstructed or whatever it is, that family member. God could never be at work. But what we see all through Scripture is that we can't tell God who's he's at work with. It's not my job. It's not my job to decide where God's at work and where he's not. It's my job to just listen to him. It's not my job to decide where God's at work. Number two, it is my job to turn towards God. It is my job to turn towards God. It's not about how far you are from God, but it's about your direction. And what we find is that it's not actually about whether you're in or out, whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, or whether you're a Christian or not, or whether you know, go to church on Sundays, or whether you're a good person necessarily. It's not about where you think you are in relation to God. It's about your direction. And you could be really far from God, but moving towards God, and you're in. And you could be really close to God or perceived as close to God, but your direction is actually away from Him. And the way of Jesus is actually about our direction. That's why the repent is so important, because it's about returning. It's about moving our direction, about realigning our life back to Jesus. And the thing is, you can be a person who comes to church Sunday mornings and Sunday nights, but not be turned toward Jesus. You can stand up here and hold a microphone, but not turn towards Jesus. You can know your Bible inside and out, but not be turned toward Jesus. You could be a youth leader, but not actually be turned towards Jesus. You can be a pastor and not actually be turned towards Jesus. So I guess my question for you tonight is, what's your move? What do you need to repent of? Where do you need to turn in your life? Maybe you need to repent about the ways that you've told God where He can't be at work. The people in your life that you've decided God would never be at work in their life. Maybe it's about the direction of your heart. Maybe it's a part of your life that you've, that's kind of been running off in a different direction. There's a word, integration, which means like you're integrated, you're heading in the same direction. Disintegrated is like you're heading in all these different directions. And sometimes our life is like that. Often our life is like that. We're disintegrated. We're sort of heading in a million different directions. And part of us is following Jesus, maybe the Sunday part of us, or the part of us that's at Connect Group or youth on Friday nights. But there's a whole bunch of other parts in our money, or how we treat people online, or what we look at, or whatever it is, how generous we are, how kind we are, that are not actually pointed towards Jesus. So my question for you tonight is, where are you headed? What direction are you facing? Jesus, I thank You that You are with us. God, I thank You for the freedom that comes when we don't have to decide where You're at work. God, I thank You for that, those people in our lives that You're bringing to our minds even now, that we've decided You're just not at work. You're not going to go there. You're not going to come into relationship with them. God, thank You that they're the very people that You love to go after. Jesus, would You speak to us right now about the ways, the parts of our lives that we need to repent, that we need to return, that we need to turn towards You, Jesus. Thank You that You give us forgiveness and grace and direction and guidance. And Spirit, I just pray that even in the silence right now, You would begin to fill our hearts. Holy Spirit, we can't do this on our own, so we ask, Spirit, You would come. You would reintegrate us. You would help us to follow Your direction, to follow You, to turn towards You, Jesus. God, I thank You for the people in this room that feel like they are so far from You, that You couldn't possibly love them, but You do. God, I thank You for the people that You're nudging tonight about, you know, they kind of look the part. They're close to You. They're a youth leader, kind of know their Bible a little bit maybe, come to church. But if they're honest with themselves, they're not actually pointed towards You. Jesus, this whole life is about relationship with You. And so we pray You would help us, empower us to turn. Thank You for Your grace, Your salvation, Your gospel, Your good news. In Your name, amen. Amen.
This has been a presentation from Narara Valley Baptist Church, a church that's desperate for God and passionate for people. To continue the conversation, we invite you to join us Sundays at 9:30 a.m. and 5 p.m. or on our website at www.nvbc.info.